This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go to our final guest of the day, Jason LaConfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. JLC, what's going on? You got Taz here, and you got JJ sitting in for the Moose. What's up, man?
Oh, you know, a whole lot of preseason football. That's pretty much it these days.
Yeah, amen, man. To that, Jason. Amen to that. And obviously, doing shows in New York, a lot of talk around Sam Darnold. Looked great in his first preseason outing against the second and the third team guys. Showed you some moments, showed you some glimpses against the Washington Redskins. From what you're hearing around the league, Sam Darnold, the front runner to be starting for the Jets week one?
Yeah, I don't think there's internally in that organization too much debate. I was down in Richmond all week watching them practice with the Redskins three straight days. And, you know, those practices are a little different than when you're just going against your defense and they know your script and they know your calls and you know their calls. You know, these were a little more live, and certainly the element of it replicating what a game would be like was there, especially in those 11-on-11 drills. And he really looks the part in every way, shape, and form, and talking to Redskins players about him and just talking to team officials. I mean, I was pretty clear to me after Sunday's practice that Sam Darnold was going to start this football game and probably play a half of it. And Todd Bowles wouldn't admit or concede that, because obviously – you know, he wants this thing to look like a quarterback competition, and they don't want Sam to think he's been handed anything. But they're going to have to keep playing him. And, I mean, look, last night wasn't a tour de force, but it's not often going to be. And it wasn't bad by any stretch to me either. And he had his moments, and he needs to continue to get out there to learn the timing and the cadence and everything that comes with the professional game. Because they want to get him up to speed this year so that next year, when they feel like a 42-year-old Tom Brady might finally hit the wall and the Patriots might finally relent, that they're not you know, gaming up Sam then. Sam's already ready to go.
Yeah. Jason, let me ask you. So you were at the Redskins Jet Camp in Richmond. What was that, University of Richmond? Was that where was it?
It's not far from the University
of
Richmond.
I was just wondering.
Yeah, they've kind of constructed this facility for them near there.
Oh, cool. So let me ask you. So, dude, you had to be there for that whole Terrell Pryor thing. That you saw.
Oh, I saw it with my own eyes. I was tweeting about it in real time. Yeah. So, happened right in the end zone, right in front of me. The play that was broken up, the pass play to Pryor, one of the reserve Redskins defensive backs. I can't recall which one, number 35. Broke up the play. Swearinger came swooping in from the sidelines, hooting and hollering all the way up and down the sidelines, calling out the Skins quarterbacks and kind of, you know, making a point of it around Pryor. And then he threw the sort of feigned left, and Terrell flinched, and then Terrell went after him. Thankfully, that one didn't get physical. That was the third day of those practices. Sunday was when it, you know, we had the three scuffles, one of which, you know, came kind of pouring into the where the stands were at one point on the far sidelines.
I'm sure a lot of the media guys got nervous. Not you, though. I'm sure you're
badass. I was watching at a different field, so I kind of saw I had to come running over. So.
What do you think about that? I was Moose and I, when Moose was here the other day, we were talking about the joint practice stuff. Like, I'm a little old school. I don't want no one inside my fort, inside my castle. I know they're not sharing a ton of information. You're just spending a lot of time. You're doing one-on-ones with an opponent.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a huge fan. I don't know how you feel, JJ, or you, Jason. What do you think, man? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think you oftentimes look at the teams who do it. You're never going to see the Dolphins and the Patriots, right?
Right,
you're never going to see the Browns and the Bengals. You're never
Jets and the Eagles.
See.
I mean, Giants and the Eagles or something
right.
like that, right?
You know, the ones I've been to in recent years, you know, it was Cowboys, Raiders.
Right.
Now, that one they brawled 3-4 years ago in Oxnard. You know, I was in Baltimore for Rams, Ravens. I mean, Lord knows when they're going to play each other again, right? I mean, Jets, Skins, not a natural rivalry. It's usually a team from another conference. One, you're not going to see that often, so if something does get physical, it probably doesn't spill into the regular season. You know, and they don't have a whole lot of skin in the game trying to figure out what you're up to. you know, and likewise you for them. So I think teams are fairly calculated in how they do it, and it usually revolves around geography. You know, if the way the scheduling works, a team is traveling pretty far, and it's a team that you don't have a rivalry with that's in the other conference, it may make more sense for them to come in early and get that what they think is better work against another opponent rather than, you know, fly 6 hours, play the game, get back in the plane, fly 6 hours back on a red eye.
Jason, one of the feel-good stories so far in this preseason is seeing Teddy Bridgewater back on a field. And I know it's against second and third teamers in the second half of that game, but Teddy Bridgewater looked like the guy we saw lead a team to the postseason a couple of years ago in Minnesota. We both agree the Jet future is Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is going to be starting most likely week one. What kind of market, if any, is going to be out there for Teddy Bridgewater? And if there's a team that you're thinking about down the line, I know we can't predict what injury may come about between now and then, but who do you think could be kicking the tires here on Teddy B?
Well, it's not just Teddy Bridgewater. It's also Josh McCown. You know, they're not. I don't see them carrying all three of those quarterbacks. And for my money, if you went looked at every quarterback on an NFL contract right now and started numbering them, you know, 1 to 120, I think all three of these Jets quarterbacks are in the top 45. You know, top 40 to 45. So there will be a market for them. But I think it will come down to, you know, what could they get for McCown versus what could they get for Bridgewater? And you would think that there would be more upside in Bridgewater, and you could put a contingency in that trade that, okay, it's a four for now, but if you re-sign him, you know, or if he starts 10 games for you, then that pick goes from a four to a three or something like that. You know, McCown, I think, would be more like a six or a seven. I mean, maybe a five based on performance. But it's going to depend on the team and the situation. The one that I would circle with a black Sharpie is the L.A. Rams. They don't have a backup quarterback right now. They may think they do. Maybe they're still trying to pretend that Sean Mannion's that guy. I saw them for a week straight and then watched that first preseason game. And I thought going into that week that after all the money they've spent and all the holes they've filled, how could you have backup quarterbacks behind Goff who combined for 50 career attempts and one start? And, you know, if Goff goes down, they used to have Nick Foles there. They saw what Nick Foles did to save the Eagles season. The way it stands right now, if Goff went down for a month, I don't know if the Rams would beat anybody. I mean, we're going to run the ball 70 times a game. So, you know, whether that turns out to be them getting RG3 from the Skins, and RG3 used to play for Sean McVay in Washington, or maybe that's a McCown, or maybe that's a Bridgewater. You know, I don't know. But there's certainly some teams that could upgrade their backup quarterback, contending-type teams.
That's a great point right there. And we're speaking to Jason Alakonfor, CBS Sports NFL insider. Jace, what about so the whole thing with Dez Bryant? You know, as you know, he visited the Browns yesterday. You know, I my gut tells me he ends up with them. I mean, you think it's a big deal that there's no news yet out of the meeting or if they're going to sign him? What do you think happens? I want to get your thoughts on this.
Well, I mean, everyone has always looked at this from the Browns' perspective, you know, and like, oh, you know, should they get him? Shouldn't they get him? I've repeatedly been sort of writing and pointing out, hey, it does take two to tango, and the money at this point will probably be fairly negligible, and this is probably his last chance to get a prove-it contract that he thinks will relaunch himself to maybe make better money next year. Is Cleveland necessarily the best place for him to do that? Is he better off waiting two or three more weeks and seeing if Green Bay all of a sudden is thin at wide receiver, or Seattle, who I think is already thin at wide receiver, gets even more thin at wide receiver? We saw them bring in Brandon Marshall, you know, a couple months ago. I don't know that Brandon Marshall has anything more in the tank than Dez Bryant does. You know, should he wait for a better situation? Because this year is going to be about next year. And I just, you know, there's a reason he wasn't, you know, returning Dorsey's calls for a while. I mean, he's kind of slow playing this, waiting for it, you know, for some other market to emerge. You know, if you want to have a market, it takes more than one team. If you want to be able to play them off each other or whatever. So I don't, honestly, I mean, we're sitting here and some people will be like, oh my God, it's the middle of August. But, you know, his game checks are not individually going to be all that massive. To me, it's more about the opportunity to earn a bigger paycheck in 2019. I don't know that this situation is best, but that there's the flip side is, well, you haven't had anything, you know, it took 2 months for this to develop after you said bye to the Ravens. You know, there's no guarantees that anything else opens up. But I've never thought this was a slam dunk.
Jason, last year the Rams and the Jaguars were like the two teams to kind of come out of nowhere to have these great runs. The Rams win the NFC West with Sean McVay. The Jaguars make it all the way to the AFC title game. Are there any teams that come to mind this year going into the year? I know a lot of people are linking the Bears because of Matt Nagy and Trubisky maybe emerging, that maybe they can have that sort of jump. Who are teams, who are candidates to be, you know, this year's version of the Rams or the Jaguars?
Yeah, some of the teams I like, it's hard to say. This offseason is so long, I feel like at various points in the offseason, every team kind of has their hype train, and you're right on the Bears. I'm not jumping on that one just yet. I think they're at least a year away. And I'm still unsold on the quarterback, frankly. But, you know, I believe in San Francisco. I think Kyle Shanahan schemes it up as good as anybody, and it would not shock me if he does this coming year what Sean McVay did with the Rams a year ago, and those two guys are similar in the way they approach a lot of things. In the AFC, I'm bullish on the Chargers, even with the injuries. I like the roster, but they have a way of undermining their roster time and time again, whether it's through coaching decisions that are bizarre or untimely, whether it's through an inability to sign the proper kickers and, you know, or suffering an injury to a punter. It seems like their specialists always let them down. And then collectively, what are they doing close and late situations in the fourth quarter? Do they melt down or do they rise above? I just think the AFC is so watered down that, like, if the Chargers were a top two seed in the AFC, I personally wouldn't be shocked. But they're still the Chargers, and history would tell you they'll probably be their own worst enemy when it matters most.
Well, listen, Jace, we appreciate it. Jason Lockenforder, have a great weekend. Enjoy some football, and we'll have you on again real soon if your schedule permits, bud.
Sounds good. Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.